good time.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. Time permitting, text line 251-343-0106. Hit us up there if you so choose. Joining us now, fresh off of a, what he's been up to lately. I guess we'll find out here in a minute. But our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm just not sure fresh is the term I would use.
whatever could you be referring to?
It's been a long slog of a session, and I, for one, am very, very glad that it is over.
Well, let's get into it, and we talked about it. Look, you took some heat for voting against the gambling package that the conference committee came with. And then, kind of got to looking at it, you did exactly what you said you were going to do. On this show, the very beginning of April, we had the receipts here, but I'm just kind of noticing, especially the House, but some of your colleagues up there on Goat Hill not really thrilled with your decision. You are your fellow Senator Lance Bell.
Well, you know, that's okay with me. I go to Montgomery with my value set and the principles that I have here, and I have never found that anyone that changes their values or their principles that in Montgomery is changing them for the better. If you're looking for values and principles in Montgomery, you're looking for them in the wrong spot. I've said from the very beginning, I'm supportive of a lottery. I am not supportive of the gaming special interests inserting their grubby hands in this process. They do it every time. I'm frustrated, as you said about 6 weeks ago here on your show. We said, look, you've captured lightning in a bottle. You've got a clean lottery. You are blessing, if you will, the limited continuing activities of some of the other gaming interests in Macon and Lowndes and Birmingham and Mobile. And you're cleaning up the rest of this. You're splitting the money evenly between Transportation General Fund and Education Fund. If you change any of this, you're going to mess it up. And so what did the House do? They came out of conference with some significant changes that never had the support to move forward. This bill, this lottery bill, this gambling bill, died 6 weeks ago when that decision was made.
Well, here's the thing, Senator. The anti-gambling crowd in the state has a 123-year winning streak against the gambling crowd. And I guess it's just like you don't put it in that perspective. And you mentioned capturing lightning in a bottle. This is as close as it's ever come, but it just seemed like we got a little ambitious, a little too ambitious there at the end, and it ended up killing it.
I would use the word greedy. Ambitious is kind. They got greedy. And I'm not talking about my colleagues in the House necessarily. I'm talking about these gaming interests. They wanted more, 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 more. And there is a point where that is not acceptable. And good for the Alabama Senate for saying that's not acceptable. That's too much. Good for Senator Bell for saying that. I obviously voted right along with him. We want to give the people of the state of Alabama the right and the ability to vote on a lottery. We're not interested in widespread casino gaming. We certainly were not interested in the Democratic wish list of Medicaid expansion, huge increases for retirees, so much for a defined benefit plan, right? Well, I call it a redefined benefit plan. And public transit. I mean, the House version of the Conferee report there, in the enabling legislation was just terrible. And we're going to see very little benefit from it. And I was amazed, Jeff, at just the constant drumbeat of more money, more money, more money, more money. And the only thing I kept thinking about is this is greed. This is exactly what this is. It's greed.
Well, and Senator, I said this yesterday, and you saw the way that things got locked down and bills were threatened, money was threatened. And, here's the thing. Gambling, big gambling, which is still technically illegal in Alabama, if it's able to exert this much influence in the Alabama legislature while being unconstitutional, wait till it's legal. And I just can't get that thought out of my head. Wait till it's legal and these guys are making money and they do have skin in the game in this state.
You could not be more right. And I will tell you that I saw my colleagues, even the yes votes on this initial package, even the yes votes on the compromise package that came out of the conference committee, would have been a no vote if this had been placed on the calendar this week. They were so unbelievably offended by the overwhelming influence and tactics of the professional gaming lobbies, whether that's the, you know, the existing tracks, the big casino interests, the lottery ticket folks, the scratch-off ticket folks, you know, whoever, whatever. It was unbelievable. The machine, maybe the folks that make the machines, it just went on and on and on, and the tactics they used. Your point about what this state would look like if we allowed that in the state is so well taken that it changed the minds of a number of members in the Alabama Senate.
Well, let's talk about fallout here. I mean, there's going to be consequences, unintended, intended, ill-intended, whatever. I don't think this is going to be – I mean, it's not going to be like BP oil spill kind of tension that lasted for a few years. But I think it's going to take a while for some of the differences between the House and the Senate to heal.
Well, that's yet to be seen, right? I mean, I think this issue is dead for now. I don't know that we will see it come back up. I still would be in favor of a lottery, but we can't have that for a whole bunch of reasons, and we can talk about what those are. But yes, I mean, there were a lot of very, you know, personal feelings, emotions wrapped up in these pieces of legislation. And from someone who advocates, you know, strongly on behalf of the legislation that I file and that I believe in, I can understand that. But you cannot function in this environment if you take everything personally. Even if somebody on the other side of a very principled approach that you have, you can't take that personally. And our colleagues in the House and the Senate are going to have to understand that, and I think the majority of them do. It got really personal at the end when you start killing bills from the, you know, because of the position of the majority of the Senate caucus. That's not sustainable. That won't work, and that's what happened towards the end of the session.
Now, looking forward, and I mean, the governor says she's not calling a special session, but Senator, let's think about this. Next year's probably too soon. They're not going to do back-to-back years of this nonsense. The year of an election cycle, not typically a time you would do it. First year of a quadrennial, maybe the rebuild Alabama with that first year in the 19, do something big like that. But I don't know. It just depends on how much turnover there is. We may not look at this until 2028 again. But by then, and I mean, the odds are you're going to have an Ainsworth as governor. Do you really think? I don't know. It's hard to see a clear path for another shot at gambling where you don't have everything lined up like this.
Well, I think that for the folks that are trying to solve this problem and get something done, that yes, this will continue to come back up. It will continue to come back up probably once a quadrennium. I don't think the legislature can stand it more often than that, because it does. It taints the whole session. It is grimy and gritty and nasty, and it ruins an entire session. So I think once every 4 years until we get something done, you will see it come back up. And that is one thing that the anti-gambling folks really ought to think about too. And I've talked to many of my friends on that side of the aisle who happen to be very pleased with me right now. And that is that we need, and people that think like us need to realize that this will continue to pop back up. And as we spin the wheel of what kind of turnover do we have, who's in my chair next, or who's in, you know, representative whatever's next, you know, however this makeup changes may demonstrably change the outlook of gaming's prospects in the future. And so while I didn't like the original, the Senate bill in total, I thought it had a lot more good in it than bad. And so it put tight controls on it, limited the expansion of gaming, all of those things. And that's got value in it. And I worry about what the next legislature will do in the next quadrennium. Will it be more restrictive or less? And I would just encourage people to look hard at who they vote for on this issue, because it could change the face of Alabama if it's just the Wild West.
I mean, to be honest, Senator, it should have passed this year, right? Like, we should be voting on gambling in August. If not for maybe the Porch Creek Indians and Greg Albritton's vote, we would be talking about that. It should have passed, but by some divine intervention or some miracle, this thing doesn't make it. One vote. I mean, it was just one vote, and any of those votes could have gone either way. But you look at it, I mean, on paper, this should have been the year. And I wonder how many people to get this close, to get that just that little bit of a taste of it, being just on the verge of it. And are they going to be able just to walk away from that?
Well, you know, I will continue to remind folks that reach out to me about this issue, frankly, on both sides, that this bill, this effort, died in the House 6 weeks ago, and it died when the House non-concurred and went to conference and decided to vastly expand the gaming that was allowed in the bill, and that's when it went down. Now I wonder if you ask those folks in the House right now, should we have just concurred? Should we have just said yes? Could we have passed the Senate version of the bill? What they would say, and I think you get some interesting answers out of that that kind of prove my point. But my concern is not that this didn't necessarily go through. My concern is what happens in 4 years, what happens in 4 years after that, and what does that look like?
Well, last question on this, I don't mean to belabor it, but I next year and being a no vote and still wanting to be productive in this job and this role as state senator, I mean, are you worried? The House is still going to, members of the House are going to take it out on you, or even some of your Senate colleagues perhaps will take it out on you because you on this particular day on this vote were a no vote on something that they coveted?
You cannot compromise your principles and what you believe in because you are worried about a parking space or a committee assignment or whether or not a bill, you know, will be hijacked or thwarted by, you know, some angry, you know, House member. You can't operate like that. It's not worth it. Your vote and the people you represent and the principles you represent are entirely too important to that. Now, Let's be honest, Jeff. I'm not a freshman member of the Alabama Senate. I chair a pretty substantial committee, and those politics work both ways. And so, to some extent, being able to exert that exact same influence the other way is how the system is designed, and it's designed that way for a reason.
We're joined by State Senator Chris Elliott here on the program. Senator, let's talk about some other things. I mean, all in all, obviously this gambling stuff overshadowed everything, but the session itself, I mean, you have to grade it. I gave it like a B. That's kind of where I put it. You got a lot of stuff out of the way early on. Had you not been bogged down by gambling, and you could have gotten that archives and history bill or some of the library stuff done, that grade improves, but it wasn't a lost session by any stretch of the imagination.
Not at all, and I think that's going to be important for members to message back to their constituents. I mean, we passed school choice in Alabama, something we've been fighting for since I've been there and long before that. So the CHOOSE Act is law, where parents can get up to $7,000 to help pay for private school or $2,000 in homeschool expenses. That's a big deal. We passed some voter security that criminalizes certain types of assistance with absentee ballots. We passed the DE&I ban, the diversity, equity, inclusion at all public schools and state agencies. This is huge. I mean, those are huge conservative wins. And then just recently, we finished up with the workforce development package, and in particular, a bill I'm proud of that provides tax incentives for private developers to provide workforce housing for our workforce here in Baldwin County, which is having a real struggle finding places to live. And those state tax dollars leverage Reagan-era federal tax incentives that will allow us to provide affordable housing for our workforce. And that's going to be crucial. When you go into a restaurant, there's areas you could sit, but they got it blocked off because there's nobody to serve you, or your condo's not getting cleaned regularly. There's no place for folks to live that are on the lower income side of our society. And we need to work on that. It's good for business. It's good for our economy, for those folks to have a place to live.
Last question. We'll get you out of here on this. Way too early here, 2025, but like, assuming it's not gambling, any predictions on what the quote unquote big thing will be?
You know, that's a good question. I would expect to see a renewed effort to deal with our ethics laws. And I will take this opportunity to laud my colleague, Representative Simpson, in the House. He was not successful this time. There are still issues that need to be worked out on that. But from somebody who has absolutely no problem running headlong into controversial issues, I take my hat off to him. Our ethics law needs work. It needs work across the board. There aren't a lot of folks that are concerned about it right now, but that's just because it hasn't impacted you. And so we've got to do some tweaks to that, and I expect him to be successful next year if he's willing to continue to work on this very controversial effort.
Well, and I'll tell you this, Senator, even if maybe he's out there listening, but like, even though he wasn't successful, he shook the foundation of that whole sorry ass ethics framework we have in this state. It's clear. I mean, there were tangible results, even though he didn't get the bill.
I'll tell you two tangible results. We have two brand new ethics commissioners that were confirmed this week in the Alabama Senate.
Yeah. So you know, whatever you think of that, it wasn't totally for nothing. Hey, Senator, we got to get out of here a little long, but always appreciate your time. We'll do this again next week.
Thanks for giving me a chance to explain why we did what we did.
Congratulations on that. We'll see you next week. State Senator Chris Elliott there. This is the Jeff Poore Show. We'll be right back.
He said, "You don't have to call me Mr. The